Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. It's Tuesday, February 3rd. Thank you for downloading today's podcast. Coming up in just a bit, we'll hear from the leader of Kent County Council, who's criticised how much it costs the county to look after unaccompanied asylum seeker children. There are calls for Dreamland bosses to properly explain a decision to close the scenic railway. And Gillingham completed a new signing just as the transfer window was about to slam shut. You can hear from new defender Omar Beckles. All of that still to come. But first, let's take a look at our top story for today. A former Canterbury bartender has spoken out after being awarded thousands of pounds in compensation after being unfairly dismissed following a wage dispute. Katie Haynes had been working at the Thomas Beckett in Best Lane for 2 years, but problems began when she wasn't paid for a series of shifts worked over Christmas of 2024. The 22-year-old says she raised the issue with the general manager at the time, but was later given the sack. During the dispute, Katie was also accused of stealing and she was suspended. She was later cleared of any wrongdoing following an internal investigation. She and I were able to sit down for a chat.
I was just baffled. I had no idea where any of this had come from. It was like a flip of a switch. It was like, I've got no words. Between like New Year's and the end of February it was the worst time of my life ever. Like, my parents had to drive me into work because I was crying so much in the morning I couldn't drive. I lost everything, and it was, I've got no words.
So, I remember in the story, it says that you consulted sort of citizens' advice and then you've decided to take the to tribunal. Can you tell me a little bit about that and what that process was like?
So over 2024, I accrued the maximum amount of holiday I could get, which was something. It's 28 days. I took 4 overall. So I was owed 24 days of holiday, 4 weeks worth of pay. It all comes to about £3,000-ish. I got in contact with ACAS. I got my tribunal certificate. That's been going on since about March. It's been very back and forward. And then start of December, I had a letter come through the door and they've said, oh yeah, by the way, it's all over. You've got court on the 28th of January. It's all done. It's all going to be ruled in your favour. I'm like, oh, brilliant, lovely. And, here we are. I've still had no money. I got another letter through from the courts because obviously I was there last week and they've just upped it. They've put another grand on top from just bits and bobs. I was missing a payslip the week that was meant to be suspended, and then obviously it didn't work a notice period, so they've added that on top. I don't think I'm going to get the money, which is the worst thing ever, but it's money that I've earned. It is mine and I won't get it, and it's fine. Well, it's not fine, but there's nothing more I can do. There's no other steps I can take. I've looked into small claims and high court writs and can't pay, we'll take it away and all of that. But I think it would be a dead end. And I don't want to give up, but I've got nothing left I can do, really.
Between unpaid wages, holiday entitlement and unfair dismissal, pub bosses have been ordered to pay just over £4,000. Now, at the time, the pub was jointly run under a managed partnership between Caskaway Taverns and Punch Pubs. The Thomas Beckett now forms part of the Punch Pubs management partnership estate without Caskaway Taverns' involvement. No one from the pub attended the tribunal hearing, but the general manager of the Thomas Beckett at the time did give us this statement.
Katie and I worked together for more than 2 years and I have fond memories of our time together. I have since severed any ties with Caskaway and the pub is now under new management with a totally revitalised approach. I remain very happy that Katie will receive the monies she's due. The new management company that took over made sure that in accordance with transfer of undertakings protection of employment, all existing staff were completely and incorrectly paid. This changeover of management was instigated following Punch ending the contract with Caskaway. Sadly, this occurred a few months after Katie had left. Naturally, the challenges that Katie faced were distressing and occurred during a period when there were some unrelated performance issues. While I refute the characterisation and events presented by Kent Online of the meetings related to the performance issues, I remain very happy that Katie will receive the monies she's due.
When approached about the case, Nick Bone, who's operations manager at Punch Pubs, gave us this statement.
Miss Haynes's case is a matter between a former management partner of the pub and a member of staff. The Thomas Beckett is now run by a new management partner whose priority is to ensure this fantastic pub continues to thrive within the community for many years to come.
Caskaway Taverns, which failed to present a valid response to the tribunal case, did not respond to a request for a comment. You can read more about this whole story by heading to the homepage of Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
One of three teenagers accused of murder following the death of a man on Sheppey has given evidence as their trial continues. 49-year-old Alexander Cashford was found unconscious in the Warden Bay Road area of Laysdown last August and died a short time later. A 16-year-old boy who's admitted manslaughter told a court he only wanted to hit the victim a few times. He denies the more serious charge, along with a 16-year-old girl and 15-year-old boy. The trial continues. A court's heard how a 4-year-old boy was killed when his parents' pickup truck was deliberately rammed off the road near Gravesend. Peter Morn was in a Ford Ranger with his mum, dad and baby sister when they were allegedly clipped at speed by a vehicle pursuing them on Ubarn Road in Southfleet last June. A murder trial is continuing. A man accused of murdering a 25-year-old following a stabbing near Dover is due in Crown Court later. Emergency crews were called to reports of an assault in Rose Garden in Athorn last Thursday morning. Stephen Boyd Rook, who's 68 and from the same road, was arrested at the scene and is believed to have been known to the victim. A Kent carpet fitter has lost his job after he was caught drug driving near the Dartford Crossing. James Hazel was stopped by police on Bob Dunn Way in June last year and was found to have cannabis in his system. The 37-year-old from Goodwood Close in High Halstow has been given a 17-month driving ban in order to pay more than £300. Police investigating a series of burglaries in Kent have arrested and charged a man from Essex. 14 break-ins in Sevenoaks, Tunbridge and Ashford are thought to be linked, with windows or doors smashed and jewellery and money taken. A 29-year-old who doesn't have a permanent address has appeared in court accused of more than 30 offences across England.
Kent Online News.
The government says additional funding is already being provided to help councils like Kent deal with the cost of looking after unaccompanied asylum seeker children. The Home Office has issued a statement following calls by the local authority leader for an urgent meeting. Councillor Lyndon Kemp-Karen is the leader of County Council. She's been speaking to Ollie Leader from the local Democracy Reporting Service.
It is exactly the same team of people who are looking after children in care, as in the under 18s, and they're looking after the care leavers. They are delivering the same excellent, outstanding level of care across the board. The only difference is that Kent County Council is funded properly by government for unaccompanied asylum seeking children up to the age of 18. But after the age of 18, that funding drops off dramatically. After the age of 21, when these unaccompanied asylum seeking children are still in our care, we are legally obliged to care for them, we have no funding from central government. The demand on our services has increased fourfold in the last decade. We are now dealing with a bulge of unaccompanied asylum-seeking children who are now young adults who are still dependent on our care leavers' services.
So why do you think Ofsted downgraded, because all this requires improvement, several other categories were downgraded from outstanding to good. Why do you think that happened then?
Well, you've got access to the Ofsted report, as has everybody. You can read the report and draw your own conclusions. What I can't do is discuss the rationale behind Ofsted's decision-making process. Ofsted are Ofsted. They will do what they will do. What I can do is point out the discrepancies in the funding that we receive from central government. Geographically, here in Kent, we are placed under a huge burden just by virtue of the fact that we are a border county. These unaccompanied children rock up on our shores. We are immediately legally obliged to put them in our children's care services and look after them, not just till the age of 18, which is funded, but up to the age of 25, which is not funded whatsoever.
Talk us through some of the pressures that KCC faces with unaccompanied sign-seeking children. Obviously, children's services are massively complicated. People at home may not know about the statutory duties that Kent County Council has. Well, can you kind of talk through the numbers and what the increases actually look like in real terms for Kent County Council?
Well, obviously, our service is under huge pressure because we are legally obliged to look after children who are not citizen children. They are unaccompanied asylum-seeking children. That puts a huge strain on our services. But our staff cope brilliantly because they are professional, they are dedicated, they are absolutely brilliant at what they do. So that is not where the problem lies. The problem lies in the fact that the government, successive governments, have absolutely failed abysmally to secure our borders. So the small boats, they're going to keep coming. As soon as the weather improves in the spring and summer, the boats are going to be coming in ever-increasing numbers. And on those boats, which are mostly filled with men, as we know, there are a few children dotted around, and it is those children that we become immediately responsible for here in Kent County Council.
So I have to ask, what are you actually calling on today? What's kind of the list of things you want from government to shore up KCC's position here?
Well, number one, I would like them to secure the borders. That is the most important thing, because until you can secure the borders and actually stop people who shouldn't be here coming into our county, we're on a hiding to nothing. I don't think that's going to happen under this government, sadly. So in the interim, I'm calling on the Home Office to grant us here at Kent County Council an urgent meeting so that we can outline, just as I have done today with you all in this room, I can outline the problem to the Home Office and demand that they take it seriously, because it is simply not fair that the burden, the financial burden, for all these thousands of unaccompanied asylum-seeking children is falling on the council taxpayer here in Kent. This is not a Kent problem. This is a national and an international problem. It is simply unfair that we're having to cough up for the bill.
She's spoken out after the council's care leavers service was downgraded to requires improvement following an inspection by Ofsted. Let's hear from now from Councillor Mark Hood, who is the leader of the Green Group at KCC.
The report details where we do things well, and we have done things well. Hence, we had that outstanding report in 2022. And nobody's pretending that additional money wouldn't be helpful, but the additional money isn't the sole cause. If we could do something to control the amount of looked after children who are being outsourced, if you like, from the capital to Kent, that would certainly be helpful. Any additional money would be helpful. But if it's about money, the question has to be asked: why is it that the council hasn't decided to put up the council tax by a full 5%? Why is it only putting council tax up by 4%? That's over £10 million that the council could have brought in order to address these shortcomings. And they've decided to make a different choice in order to only partially betray their election promises. So it's kind of, it's not going to wash, really. You can't offer up a begging bowl to government if you're not trying to get your hands on as much local funding as possible as well.
People living in a village near Ashford say they're under attack over plans for 75 new properties. The application is for an area of land at Mountain Farm off Marsh Road. 27 of the homes would be classed as affordable and 3 would be social housing. Residents say it would put extra strain on basic facilities like school places. A cafe in Maidstone has received a 0-star hygiene rating after inspectors found a pest infestation and grease dripping down the walls. The environmental health team visited Star Burger in Week Street last October. They noted the standard of cleaning on the premises was poor. Star Burger has also failed to register itself as a food business. We've asked them for a comment. Now, there are calls for Dreamland to face an overview and scrutiny panel over a decision to permanently close the scenic railway. Last week, we told you how the historic roller coaster would never again operate as a ride. Bosses at the theme park say it follows an extensive process of consultations and inspections, but that at councillor and mayor of Margate, Katie Pope, says the announcement came as a surprise.
It was a complete shock. So the ride hasn't been running for 2 years, but yeah, just completely out of the blue. And, you know, we only have a very short amount of information about their decision. So we'd like to see a more comprehensive view so that we can understand, you know, if something can be done to keep it safely running.
Well, what's your understanding at the moment as to why the decision was made? We know that there was a problem, obviously, with the ride and it needed some quite substantial repairs. And that's why it hasn't been running for a while. What's your understanding as to how they've reached this decision, though?
So they, I think in the press release, they said that they've consulted with Historic England, obviously, for the grade listing and that they've had reports done on it. But obviously, we haven't had a view of those. So, yeah, I think that's why we sort of want them to come into overview and scrutiny so that we can see how the decision was made and scrutinise it.
If it comes to them saying it's just financially not viable to run the ride because it needs too many checks, it requires too many people, it needs too much maintenance, where do we go from there? I mean, how keen are you to, you know, it's not a bottomless pit of money, is there, when it comes to these things? How keen are you for it to be running again? Or does it just depend on what they tell you when you hear them in front of that committee?
So because the council kind of doesn't have any control over their decision making now, unfortunately, but there was funding allocated to keep it running until 2037. So I think that's why we really want to understand more about the decision, because that funding, you know, should have been spent on that. So, yeah, getting our teeth into what the expected costs are around keeping it running. You know, I think there's other roller coasters. There's one in Great Yarmouth that's a wooden roller coaster that's still running and I assume is financially viable, or I'm sure it wouldn't be. So yeah, I think it's just understanding what can be done. I guess the thing is to say about the overview and scrutiny meeting as well is that it exists to scrutinize decisions that the council is making. They don't have to come to the meeting because we are not responsible for them, so we'll ask them and hope that they will come. You know, I think there is a lot of public interest in Margate and further afield, but yeah, they don't have to agree to it.
She's been speaking to Nicola there. A meeting will be held later today where Kate is expecting to get cross-party support for the plans to ask Dreamland to front the panel, but the company is under no obligation to appear.
Kent Online News.
There's been a wave of support for plans for new paddle tennis courts in Dartford. Nearly 300 letters have been sent supporting the application for double and single indoor courts at Hawley Garden Centre. It would be the area's first paddle facility as the sport continues to grow in popularity across the county. Council have launched a public consultation. A petition's been set up calling for Kent's first drifting school to reopen. It was launched at Manston Airport last year by a car enthusiast but closed down following complaints about noise. The facility used to be open 2 Saturdays a month so drivers could practice stunts in a safe space. The council's been asked for a comment. Plans to add double yellow lines on Minster High Street have been dropped following strong opposition from local businesses. The idea was considered after concerns were raised about large vans and HGVs damaging properties while parking along the one-way street. Other safety measures, including the use of speed indicator devices, have been proposed instead.
Kent Online News.
A children's play centre forced to move out of Ashford's Park Mall shopping centre has found a new home. Littleland was one of 24 businesses who had to relocate after council announced the complex would be demolished later this year. The owners have been able to find a new unit on Henwood Industrial Estate and they reopened on January 20th. Two best friends from Folkestone who ran a food van together say they're heartbroken and having to sell up. Jackie Gamble and Jane King launched Streets to Streets 11 years ago and have been selling fish and chips in towns and villages along the coast. They say they're stepping away for personal reasons. Community grants are being launched to support heritage projects on the Hoo Peninsula. Organisations will be able to get up to £5,000 to help bring the area together with a focus on inclusion, sustainability and the environment. It's part of the Who's Who scheme. Applications are open until March 16th.
Kent Online Sports.
Football Now and the new Gillingham signing says he's excited to add value to the squad. Gills completed the transfer of 34-year-old defender Omar Beckles from League One Leighton Orient just ahead of the deadline. He's been speaking to the club's media team.
Delighted to get this over the line. It's been a club that's been interested for a little while now. The gaffer's played a big part in that, and I think it's an amazing project to be a part of. I've come here a few times and it's been a tough place to come to, so I'm happy to be a part of that and not be on the receiving end of it. Delighted.
You've answered my next question, really, but why Gillingham? I mean, Gareth Ainsworth, everyone seems to they love Gareth and his positivity, and but also the project that the owners have put in place here, was that an important part of your decision?
100%, yeah. I want to be a part of something. I've still got an appetite and desire to want to achieve. And you know, the manager's played a massive part because the clubs that he's been a part of have had a massive culture that's been built around the squad and that togetherness, and I strongly believe in it. And him as a person, how he gets around people, how he encourages people. I think I've seen him also bring the best out of people, no matter where they are in their careers. It could be, you could be really, really young, or you could be a senior individual, and he's still able to extract the best out of you. And I think I've still got so much to give, and I think he's the right person to bring the best out of me for what's left in my career. So that and the project itself, I think, you know, the only team really in Kent as a region. There's so much scope and potential, and it's crying out for, you know, just some success and being able to progress and do great things. So I really believe in the project. Really excited about being a part of that, adding to the squad, and hopefully pushing them in the direction they need to go.
You depart Leighton Orient after a few years, some great memories there, including a promotion. You must leave with a heavy heart, albeit excited by a new chapter.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I didn't genuinely want to leave, in all honesty. I'm an East End boy in the local area, playing for your local club. The time was the time for me to make moves and to start a new venture and a new journey. The club was going in a different direction. But I'm really excited about this new project. And you're a long time retired in football. And the one thing you'll remember is the people you were on a journey with. And I've heard so much about this group of lads and the culture that he's creating here. And I'm just really excited about going on a journey with these lads and seeing what we can do and seeing the memories we can create.
He's the third signing during the January transfer window after midfielder Cameron Antwi and striker Ronan Hale. Staying with the Gills, and the manager is expecting to make some changes ahead of tonight's match at Notts County. The Gills are coming off a disappointing 4-1 loss to League 2 leaders Bromley over the weekend. Gareth Ainsworth says part of that performance were unrecognisable, and he'll have to put it right.
Tuesday's an important game. They're all important, you know. My worry is that we've got the Constantino games coming up at the end of the season because of the cancellations we'd had. I know Bromley played Tuesday, and that was mentioned that, you know, they had a game Tuesday, we didn't. But if anything, those fixtures that are in a schedule, you know, they help sometimes. You know, Bromley looked really up for it, really good. We looked a little bit rusty, like we'd been on a bus for 2 days and not had a game on the Tuesday, and probably a little bit down for that. We were all ready for the Cheltenham game. We're gonna have to make sure we win it when it's rearranged. But no, you've got to be professional in everything you do. Just an off day today for a lot of players. If it keeps happening, then obviously I'm quite aware, you know, things will have to be done. But today I'm hoping it was just this one off that sometimes players get.
Despite the loss, Gillingham are still 14th in the table, while Notts County are in 5th. Kickoff tonight is at 7:45. Now, this all comes as an investigation's been launched into the behaviour of some Bromley fans at Saturday's game. The club say they're disappointed by the unacceptable actions of a small minority of supporters who attended the game at Priestfield on Saturday. They're warning antisocial behaviour will not be tolerated. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups, and exclusive stories. You can choose a subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.